दुनिया भर में अब उनके साथ जुड़ना थोड़ा आसान हो गया है। अब जब आप CIBC ग्लोबल मनी ट्रांसफर भेजते हैं तो विदेश में आपके प्यारे इसे उसी दिन अपने पास की मनीग्राम लोकेशन से नकद में ले सकते हैं, और ये सब बिना किसी ट्रांसफर फी के, ताकि आप अपने प्यारों को भेज सकें और ज्यादा। उनकी मदद करने का यही सही तरीका है। CIBC ग्लोबल मनी ट्रांसफर के साथ परिवार कभी भी दूर नहीं। शर्तें और CIBC फॉरेन एक्सचेंज रेट्स लागू हैं। CIBC.com/cashpickup पर जाएं।
मुद्दे लाख बुरा चाहे तो क्या होता है, और वही होता है जो मंजूरे खुदा होता है। गुड मॉर्निंग एवरीवन, और नमस्ते, नमस्कार, सीताराम, और अस्सलामु अलैकुम, एंड अ वेरी वार्म वेलकम टू योर अर्ली मॉर्निंग एडिशन ऑफ शबनम, एंड स्पेशली डिजाइंड टू असिस्ट यू विद योर अर्ली मॉर्निंग चोर्स एंड टू पुट यू इन ए पॉजिटिव एंड गुड फ्रेम ऑफ माइंड एंड टू ऑल्सो इग्नाइट स्पार्क्स ऑफ स्पिरिचुअल इंस्पिरेशन टू यू एंड योर लव्ड वंस। जहां कहीं आप मौजूद हो, अपने कागों से जरा सी मुहलत लेकर इन मस्तानों को सुनने के लिए तैयार हो जाइए। और ए बहारे बाग अरुणिया चंद रोज, देख लो इसका तमाशा चंद रोज, और ए मुसाफिर कूच का सामान कर, इस सलामे है बसीरा चंद रोज।
सीताराम सत श्री अकाल, जय गुरु दत्ता, साई राम, अस्सलाम वालेकुम एंड गुड मॉर्निंग एवरीबॉडी। इज इट मॉर्निंग? गुड आफ्टरनून इंडीड। वेल, यू नो, वी आर ब्रॉडकास्टिंग अराउंड द वर्ल्ड एंड समवेयर इट्स मॉर्निंग। अ ब्यूटीफुल डे इंडीड, अ ब्यूटीफुल फॉल सैटरडे। आई एम योर ट्रूली रिचर्ड अजीज, कीपिंग यू कंपनी ऑन राइट अंटिल 4 o'clock टुडे। And what a wonderful program we have lined up for you, so do stay with us. We are here keeping you company right until 4 o'clock. 770 on your dial, WTOR. Around the world at www.shabnamradio.com. And locally, you can listen simply by dialing 647-872-4900. That's 647-872-4900. In case you want to walk out the car. Maybe the mother-in-law talking a little too much. And you need to be by it. Listen, 647-872-4900. And well, we have a wonderful program lineup for you, and today a very special guest would be with me, Mr. Aubrey Norton, the opposition leader in the Parliament of the People's Republic of Guyana. He is in Toronto. I believe he's making a North America trip, and of course taking some time to come in today with us. And I want to say in advance, thank you. You know, coming out to reach out to the nationals of Guyana, and of course he is here to speak with us. And again, I must say thank you. Well, that's coming up in a little bit, so do stay with us. And of course, we have the Hanuman Chalisa to share with you, and so much more. Do stay with us. Richard Aziz keeping you company. I want to let you know, starting off the program, we want to bring you the Hanuman Chalisa for Dairy Davika as they're celebrating their wedding anniversary. Do stay with us.
चौदवी का चांद हो या आफताब हो, जो भी हो तुम खुदा की कसम लाजवाब हो। चौदवी का चांद हो कांधों पे बादल झुके हुए, जुल्फे हैं जैसे कांधों पे बादल झुके हुए, आके हैं जैसे मैके प्याले भरे शराब हो। चौदवी का चांद हो या आफताब हो, जो भी हो तुम खुदा की कसम लाजवाब हो। चौदवी का चांद हो है, जैसे झील में हंसता हुआ कंवल, चेहरा है जैसे झील में हंसता हुआ कंवल, या जिंदगी के साज पे चेहरी चांद हो या आफताब हो, जो भी हो तुम खुदा की कसम लाजवाब हो। चौदवी का चांद हो।
Yeah, that's all. That's... Beautiful music indeed. And again, I know this is one of Derry's favorites, and of course his beautiful wife would love being serenaded by such beautiful music. Devika and Derry want to say happy wedding anniversary. Hey, I've been telling you, we've been promoting it on television about this interview with a very special guest, Mr. Aubrey C. Norton, leader of the People's National Congress Reform, PNCR, and he would be my guest coming up at 1:30. You don't want to miss that. Against Spreaderwood, www.shabnamradio.com. And you know what? You could even listen by your phone. Simply dial 647-872-4900. 647-872-4900. Today we'd have a candid interview, and with his permission, I'll take some calls, and anyone could call him. We'd do that also. And, you know, we've been hearing and reading headlines after headlines about this gentleman. Today we'd have a chance, and once again, I said it earlier, thank you, because for him to take a time out to come visit with us, I really appreciate it. It shows that he is serious about speaking to nationals of the Republic, the Cooperative Republic of Guyana. So stay tuned. That's coming up. Join us on Shabnam Radio this Saturday, September 24th, from 1 to 4 p.m. for a special interview with Mr. Aubrey Norton, leader of the People's National Congress Reform and leader of the Parliamentary Opposition in Guyana. You can listen on 770 AM WTOR, www.shabnamradio.com, or simply dial 647-872-4900. That's this Saturday, a live in-person interview with Mr. Aubrey Norton, leader of the People's National Congress Reform and leader of the Parliamentary Opposition in Guyana, September 24th from 1 to 4 p.m. Hosted by yours truly, Richard Aziz.
West Indian Friends of Care celebrates their 20th anniversary with a night of soca, chutney, and parang. Featuring the king of the stage, K.I., Rakesh Yankaran, plus Brian Mohan, Randy B., LVL Exodus, Maestray and Friends, and DJ Navi. Saturday, October 29th, 6 p.m. at the Arrows Convention Center, 2360 Lucknow Drive, Mississauga. A night of soca, chutney, and parang with West Indian Friends of Care. It's not who we are, it's the difference we make. For info and tickets, call 416-568-5838.
Jai Mata Di, the Devi Mandir of 2590 Brook Road, Pickering, invites you to Shraddh Navaratri 2022. Come with your family to our 9 nights of devotional service to the Universal Ma Durga, starting from September 26th and ending on October 4th. With Vijay Dakshmi, Durga Ashtami and Kanya Puja will be done on October 2nd. Puja and Abhishek will be done daily from 5 p.m. and Katha from 7 to 9 p.m. nightly. Please join with Pandit Jagosai, a head priest and spiritual leader of the Devi Mandir, along with Pandit Girish Kali and other pundits from the Mandir, in worship of the Universal Ma Durga as one big family. Call 905-686-8534 or visit our website at www.devimandir.com. The Devi Mandir is located at 2590 Brook Road, Pickering. Dhanyavad. Jai Mata Di.
Also, we want to remind you that the International Muslim Organization, the IMO, is having their fundraising dinner, so raising money for operating costs of the masjid, and that's taking place on the 1st of October. We'll tell you more about that in a little bit. But right now, I want to say thank you, and of course, God's blessing going out to Derry and Devika and the entire family. Of course, they're celebrating their wedding anniversary. First, I want to say congratulations and best wishes coming to you from your children, Denise, Delcy, Derek, and Jason. I hope I get that right. Your son-in-law, of course, and wishing you God's choice is blessing. Greetings are also coming to you from all of us here, Derry and Devika. Yours really, Richard Aziz. Well, they are sponsoring, and I want to mention those who have supported us with the sponsorship in the past. We have Pam and Derek, and thank you. And Sati Raghubira has been a strong supporter. I want to say thank you. Hey, we are doing a Hanuman Chalisa, and when we come back, and I see they are making their way already in the studios, Mr. Norton and his team, they are here, so that's coming up at 1:30 sharp. So do stay with us. Compliments, Derry and Devika, as we celebrate their wedding anniversary, giving praise and thanks indeed to God Almighty.
श्री गुरु चरण सरोज रज निज मन मुकुर सुधारि बरनउ रघुबर बिमल जसु जो दायक फल चारि बुद्धिहीन तनु जानि के सुमिरो पवन कुमार बल बुद्धि विद्या देहु मोहि हरहु कलेश विकार जय हनुमान ज्ञान गुण सागर जय कपीश तिहु लोक उजागर राम दूत अतुलित बल धामा अंजनी पुत्र पवन सुत नामा हाथ वज्र ध्वजा विराजे कांधे मुंज जनेऊ साजे शंकर सुवन केसरी नंदन तेज प्रताप महाजगवंदन विद्यावान गुणीयति चातुर राम काज करिबे को आतुर प्रभु चरित्र सुनिबे को रसिया राम लखन सीता मन बसिया सूक्ष्म रूप धरि सियहि दिखावा विकट रूप धरि लंक जरावा भीम रूप धरि असुर संहारे रामचंद्र के काज संवारे लाए सजीवन लखन जियाए श्री रघुवीर हर शिउर लाए रघुपति की बहुत बड़ाई तुम मम प्रिय भरत ही सम भाई सहस बदन तुम्हारो जस गावे अस कही श्रीपति कंठ लगावे सनकादिक ब्रह्मादि मुनीसा नारद सारद सहित हहीसा जम कुबेर दिगपाल जाते कवि कोविद कही सके काते तुम उपकार सुग्री वही कीन्हा राम मिलाय राज पद दीन्हा तुम्हरो मंत्र विभीषण माना लंकेश्वर भय सब जग जाना जुग सहस्त्र जो जन पर भानु लील्योता ही मधुर फल जानु प्रभु मुद्रिका मेली मुख माही जलधि लांघि गए अचरज नाही दुर्गम काज जगत के सुख लहे तुम्हारी शरणा, तुम रक्षक काहू को डरना। आपन तेज संभारो आपे, तीनों लोक हाँकते कांपे, भूत पिशाच निकट नहीं आवे। महावीर जब नाम सुनावे, नासे रोग हरे सब पीरा, जपत निरंतर हनुमत वीरा। संकट ते हनुमान छुड़ावे, मन क्रम वचन ध्यान जोलावे। सब पर राम तपस्वी राजा, तिनके काज सकल तुम साजा। और मनोरथ जो कोई लावे, सोई अमित जीवन फल पावे। चारों जुग पर ताप तुम्हारा है, पर सिद्ध जगत उजियारा। साधु संत के तुम रखवारे, असुर निकंदन राम दुलारे। अष्ट सिद्धि नौ निधि के दाता, असवर दीन जानकी माता। राम रसायन तुम्हारे पासा, सदा तुम्हारे भजन राम को पावे। जन्म जन्म के दुख बिसरावे, अंतकाल रघुबर पुर जाई। जहाँ जन्म हरि भक्त कहाई, से सर्व सुख करई। संकट कटे मिटे सब पीरा, जो सुमिरे हनुमत बलबीरा। जय 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 हनुमान गोसाई, कृपा करहु गुरुदेव की नाई। जो सत बार पाठ कर कोई, छूट ही बंदी महा सुख होई। जो यह पढ़े हनुमान चालीसा, होय सिद्धि साखी गौरीसा। तुलसीदास सदा हरि चेरा, की जय नाथ हृदय महडेरा। की जय नाथ हृदय महडेरा।
पवन तनया संकट हरन, मंगल राम लखन सीता सहित। हृदय बसहु सुर भूप,
हनुमान चालीसा। Again, thank you to the Sukhdev family, Derry and Devika. You know, they've always been supporting us here for a birthday, whether it's an anniversary. And we took the extra hour so we could continue doing this. And I want to say thank you to all those who have been supporting us with the Hanuman Chalisa. Congratulations again. And listen, later we will be doing some more celebration with you, all right? So do stay with us. This is Shabnam Radio. Of course, we are here keeping you company. We'll be right back. And when I come back, we'll be talking to Mr. Aubrey Norton, leader of the People's National Congress Reform.
Jazz Supermarket in Brampton is the preferred place to shop for all your Caribbean grocery needs. You're guaranteed fresh fruits and vegetables as shipments arrive twice a week. Whether you're sending a barrel, money, or just need to find a certain ingredient to get that back home taste, Jazz Supermarket has it all. You can even stock up with poultry or meat from the halal meat counter, CDs, gift items, or fresh bread and pastries from the bakery. Caribbean jewelry and ready-made casual clothing now available. Come visit Jazz Supermarket, 9025 Torbram Road at the corner of Queen and Torbram in Brampton, where friendly service awaits you.
Well, we are here, Shabnam Radio, and a Saturday. Good afternoon, those of you joining us for the first time. We say hello, and of course, we know we have quite a few new listeners as the PNC and the APNU and AFC Coalition, they're all listening. They have a wide listenership, especially in North America, and we will be addressing them. And again, guys, I want to give out the telephone number. So we will be doing this interview today. Telephone number to reach us at the studio. And only when we say we can take your calls, you would call. And if you choose to call, we ask you to be short. And please give us your name, first name. We don't have to get your last name and all that, but of course, be respectful to our guests and this station. My guest today is Mr. Aubrey C. Norton, the leader of the People's National Congress Reform, PNCR. He was elected to the position in December 2021. Mr. Norton is also the leader of the official opposition of the APNU and the AFC coalition in Guyana Parliament. Mr. Norton has a long and distinguished career in politics. His involvement in politics began with political youth work since 1972, where he was a member of the Young Socialist Movement, YSM, youth arm of the People's National Congress Reform. He thereafter served in many executive positions in the YSM. He was also the General Secretary of the People's National Congress, PNC. Aubrey Norton also has more than 25 years' experience in foreign policy formulation and implementation. He served in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, providing foreign policy advice on United Nations and all UN-related institutions and non-aligned movement, the Commonwealth, Europe, and the environment. He has a diploma in political science from the Julio Antonio Mela College in Cuba and graduated from the University of the Guyana, UG, with Bachelor of Social Science, Political Science with honors. He earned his Master of Arts in International Relations from the University of Kent of Canterbury in the United Kingdom in 1994. Want to say welcome to Mr. Norton, welcome to the program, welcome to Toronto.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for your welcome. I want to say a very good afternoon to your listening public and hope we can have a meaningful exchange and issues of relevance to Guyana and the Caribbean if necessary.
Well, first of all, I want to ask you, what made it, what's your purpose, your mission on this journey?
Essentially, I'm here because there are Guyanese in the diaspora, and as the leader of a political party and the leader of the coalition, when I was campaigning, I promised to be in contact with all Guyanese wherever they are. You know, we have here in Canada the chapters of the People's National Congress Reform. I'm here to meet the members and to attend the function in which we will meet the wider community. So I would say this is a kind of a outreach into the diaspora to build relations and continue to network in the interests of the APNU, AFC, and Guyana in general.
Would this trip see you going to the United States also to engage?
Yes, I'm going to the United States to engage, but that has become a reality because there were difficulties getting back home in the time I wanted to get back home. And so to get back home quick, I have to go to the United States. And once I'm going there, it doesn't make any sense not meeting people. So we'll meet people, and then I'll proceed to Guyana next week.
Well, getting into the interview, you have been on Making Headlines for the past few months indeed. If you would summarize for us some of your activities that a lot of Guyanese who have been reading headlines would like to hear. One, I know it was an issue where many occasions, at least two of them I read, where you refused to shake the hands of the political leader and the president of the Corporate Republic, Dr. Irfan Ali. Also, the situation with the parliament. I want to get those issues addressed quickly, and if you could explain in your words or explain to the listening audience how that came to be.
Well, first of all, I've said from the inception I will represent the unrepresented in Guyana and all Guyanese as well. Now, this issue emerged because a number of issues were placed on the table, among them discrimination against African Guyanese and Indo-Guyanese and indigenous people who support the APNUAFC. I'm of the view that a government should treat all as equal. And to the extent that they haven't been doing that, I'd said in the public domain that it needs to be addressed, and there can only be meaningful consultation if these critical issues affecting constituencies are addressed. It is in that context I said I'm not prepared to shake the president's hand as if things are normal when things aren't. We have a situation in Guyana. We are only in today's paper. I read from here that Guyanese would have, the headlines in the Guyana Chronicle read, $64 billion in the pocket of Guyanese. Now, I live in Guyana. I know the reality. The cost of living is spiraling out of control. I know the reality. The reality is a small group of PPP elite friends and family are benefiting, but the mass of Guyanese, regardless of ethnicity, are not benefiting. And for me, if one is talking about an oil and gas sector, that sector will only be useful to us if it is improving the lives of all Guyanese. And to the extent that it tends to put the resources in the hands of the few at the expense of the majority of people at all levels of the society, then I do not believe we should be boasting about an oil and gas sector and about governance. May I also add, governance in Guyana has deteriorated. There is little or no transparency. There's little or no accountability. And when it comes to equity, it's worse. And so, for us in the APNUAFC and for Guyanese who care, there is little or no sense going through the facade or the formality of shaking hands at diplomatic receptions and in the public domain when the critical issues that affect the Guyanese people are not being dealt with. Like I said, I'm prepared to shake anyone's hand, but that handshake will come when we begin to address the critical issues in Guyana. I want to point out that every diplomatic mission in Guyana, most Guyanese believe that there should be a clean voters list. The statistics will tell you the story. Guyana has a population of 750,000 people. At the end of this last registration, 684,000 people are on the voters list. The Ministry of Education is saying that there are about 250,000 children. If you have 250,000 children and your list of electors will be 684,000, unless children are on that list, then it doesn't make sense. Now, every organization, the OAS, CARICOM, the Americans, the Canadians, the British, all of them said at the end of the last elections that there is need for a clean list. The only people holding on to this issue is the PPP. Now, let us recall that when the PPP lost in 2015, they called for the removal of Steve Sturridge Valley. And they called for new registration and a clean voters list. At the time, they probably didn't anticipate they would be back in government by 2020. Now in 2022, we are making the same call and the government is saying no to it. What do you have to hide? Why would you not want a clean list that reflects the population? A country can only consider itself to be democratic if the list that is going to the elections is reflective of the population. And if it fails to reflect the population, then you create the conditions for the very irregularities you claim to be fighting. You are creating the conditions for tensions again after the next election. We are of the view that we need a clean list and we need to put biometrics in place. Kenya just had elections with biometrics, and there's an improved situation. Why would any political party not want to have a situation where when you go to vote, you put your thumb, and the biometric machine will establish if you are the person or not? To me, if you don't want that, you don't want transparency, you don't want accountability, you are signaling that you are not good intentioned.
Let's just pause for a minute. Yeah, going back, you said a lot indeed. And coming back to the issue of not being equal and equal across the board, your government, most of your party, would you agree are Afro-Guyanese?
Yes, I do agree.
I want to ask you this. Are you a racist?
No, I'm not. And I go past saying I'm not a racist. I say this first of all. I lectured at the University of Guyana to all ethnic groups. And any student of any ethnic group will know one of the first things I did when I begin to lecture at the university is say to them what they need to do to get move from F to D, D to C, C to B, B to A. I give clear objective criteria for assessment. I believe if one sets out objective criteria, they are compelled to operate based on that criteria. And so I think my record at the University of Ghana would have established among all Guyanese that I was fair. Ethnicity didn't come into the picture. I have half of my family that, or at least a quarter, that are of Indo-Guyanese descent. I've never had a problem with them. The others are Afro-Guyanese. For me, as a person, it is my task to represent all people. The problem you have is when you represent Afro-Guyanese, people tend to transform that into being race. But I would say this to you. I'm disposed to representing anyone. And as we go along and I explain to you the political situation in Guyana, you will see, based on my philosophical position, I will have to represent that section of the Indo-Guyanese community that is not benefiting from oil and gas in the way that it should. Now, there's no way I'm going to sit in Guyana as an Afro-Guyanese and allow this kind of thing to happen. Let me give you an example. One, if you look at the Suisdijk-Linden Highway, and I've asked the government to put out the figures if they are not afraid, along the Suisdijk-Linden Highway, the PPP has given predominantly and overwhelmingly one ethnic group all the lands. Let's say we forgive them for that. We come now, the PPP said when they were in opposition that anybody who got land after the no confidence motion, the land will either be taken away or they will face the courts. The evidence is there that Indo-Guyanese got, Afro-Guyanese got. You proceed to court, and you take only Afro-Guyanese to court. The Indo-Guyanese were left with the same lands that were gotten under us. Mind you, I believe they were entitled to it. What I disagree with is the different strokes for different folks. Now, I was called to Belwes and Wales, which are Indo-Guyanese communities. And the people there who got land that were Indo-Guyanese and perceived to be AP and new AFC, they began to hassle them. In the case of a number of the Indo-Guyanese in that area, they have two accesses to the lands. One is through Wales Estate, which they instructed the security to close so that these Indo and Afro Guyanese who are going through their cant. The other alternative is either through Belwest or Belize, might be Belize. They dug a canal so that they cannot get their machinery, etc., on the land. And therefore, to me, and I may put this in the public domain, it's a clear case of both ethnic and political discrimination.
And that's a serious charge. I mean, they would be going out of their way to dig a trench to avoid these groups.
And I raise it in the public domain in Guyana to rally, and the government does not respond to it. And so that is the concern. And, you know, sometimes when you are representing people, what they do is focus only on the Afro-Guyanese. But I went to Bushlot in the quarantine. And the people there complained that there was a PPP activist, Indo-Guyanese, who destroyed the roads, destroyed the dams, and tell them in no uncertain terms, he has connections and they can do nothing. But nobody will highlight the fact that when I was there, I highlighted it and raised it in public domain. I went to Little Africa, where there were a lot of Indo-Guyanese living there, and Little India, not far away. And I raised the question of discrimination against the African Guyanese there. I pointed out that a lot of the Indo-Guyanese came and met me and said nothing is being done in the community and it affects them. That was raised. Of course, the vice president in his style ran in there and said he was going to do roads, etc. Now, I give you another case. Only recently, the government announced that they will do 200, they're distributing 284 contracts to do 300 roads in Region 6. In Region 10, which is an APN stronghold, they will do 25. They are not giving you the breakdown of the East Coast and Georgetown, so you know how much they'll do. But I believe people in the quarantine are entitled to good roads.
Well, I want to go back before we go, Shring. There's so much I want to talk to you about. You talk about the wealth, the money that you read in the headlines even this morning. Don't you think it's the government or any government would need time to process the delivery of service and goods and infrastructure? I mean, the young government, within the short time they have been, they spent a lot of time wrestling out the results of the election, etc. Would it not be fair to say that they need more time in executing? And mind you, I have noticed since they came into power, as an outsider observing, they would, it seems as if they were a government in training. As soon as they hit the ground running. Now, you're alleging that some areas of Guyana where maybe Afro-Guyanese might be living and not being properly represented as far as infrastructure, work, etc. What about proportion to population in these areas? Because I'm not from Guyana. And I'm asking you, for those who are listening, to help us with, because you talk a lot about numbers, if you could give us a little quick breakdown in your assessment, is the government addressing across, because they're talking about one Guyana. And I mean, for them to be fair and want to stay in power, you would have to win the love at the hearts of the Afro-Guyanese as maintaining their hold on the Indo-Guyanese population. Are they not sharing this or distributing this wealth and work that is cascade down to all Guyanese?
Okay, let's answer that. The Region 4, which includes Georgetown, the East Coast and the East Bank, they constitute nearly half of the population. Now, if you're doing 300 roads in the quarantine, which constitute, I think, 72,000 people maximum, here you're talking about over 200,000. I'm just dealing with your population issue. When you move from the East Coast and Bank, you go to Georgetown. The single largest population in Georgetown is in Georgetown. But what the government says, and this was said only yesterday or day before yesterday by the Minister of Infrastructure, Juan Ejil, that if Georgetown wants services, they must vote PPP. That is in the public domain. Now, apart from the fact that it is a callous comment, it is indicative of the approach. Now, Georgetown as a municipality should be given their subvention, given their resources to manage Georgetown, and the people who manage it be held accountable. Now, Georgetown is won by the APNU-AFC. It has an Indo-Guyanese mayor, but they continue to deprive Georgetown of resources. They do the same thing with New Amsterdam. They do the same thing with Bartica. They do the same thing with Madia. All four that we would have won. May I also point this out? The government gave a $4 million to every NDC to clean up their area, to do work. The only NDCs that they didn't give the money to were those won by the APNU-AFC. And then they proceeded to take that money, do what they want in the area, and then tell them the work was done. Now, if you believe in local government, you allocate resources to the local authorities who are elected. You allow them to manage, and as government, you hold them accountable. If one looks at the budgetary allocation, you will see that those controlled by the PPP obtain more resources disproportionate to the population. And so the data will substantiate what I'm saying. Now, I believe that all communities should benefit. But we have to move to the point where we have objective criteria for allocations. It cannot be at the whims, fancies, and caprices of a government that shows bias. And that is the concern. Now, on the question of their need in time, you do not need time to allocate resources fairly. You need time, yes, to implement your programs, etc. But you said that they hit the ground running. If they hit the ground running and they were prepared, the inverse proportion of that is that they were prepared to do just what they're doing. Because if they were prepared to govern in a fair way, then they didn't need time. They just had to do resource allocation in a fair way, and it will happen. I'll give you the last case, because I travel Guyana regularly. One of the things I pride myself is when I speak from the people. We had a flood, and there's flood relief. The quarantine is the PPP stronghold. The whole Region 6. But there's one community in Region 6, among others, that is predominantly Afro-Guyanese. It's a community called Barakara, in the Kanji Creek, or some people say the Kanji River. Now, for flood relief, they sent in people to do assessments. In the Barakara, in the Kanji, they have established by the people in agriculture that the African Guyanese lost heads of cattle, they lost crop and other livestock. Under quarantine, they issued flood relief. It ranged from 250,000 up to 8 million. Now, in Barakara, where they went and did the assessment, they gave every person there $50,000. What that meant is the people who lost, and one particular man who lost 30 heads of cattle, cannot rebuild. And even under quarantine, I can tell you this, Indo-Guyanese who are not perceived to be PPP, did not get what they were expected to get. And so there is an elite group in the PPP, and family and friends, that are benefiting, while a lot of the Afro-Guyanese and Indo-Guyanese, who they don't perceive to be supportive of them, are not getting the resources. Now, you say you are... One last one before you go. You say, yes, you clear $664 billion going into Guyanese pocket, yet you refuse to raise the wages and salaries of those in the public sector. Now, it is not a case that you don't have money, is you have money, but we have got to recognize that one Guyana is talk. I believe that we need to build a Guyana in which all Guyanese feel comfortable and all Guyanese believe they are benefiting from our national patrimony. And there is where the problem lies.
You mentioned the voters list. This list that you speak about, that need, and I like the idea about biometrics, has it not been the same list that your government has prepared and had so much issues, sorting out the election. What is wrong with this list currently?
Now, first of all, let us remember the PPP called for a clean list after 2015. People tend to forget that. And they were annoyed with Dr. Suraj Bali, who was governing the commission by consensus. Now, having called for that, we as a government, and people don't mention this, we were doing house-to-house registration for a new clean voters list. The PPP went to court, and the Chief Justice ruled that you couldn't take the names of people off of the list. And that is why we end up going into the last election with a bloated list that suits the present government and opposition at the time. So we were moving in that direction. Now we are at a point where the government is saying that the law doesn't permit them to change it. And we are saying to them, it is we that make the laws, the government and the opposition. And this is an area we could collaborate on and make the changes to ensure we have a list, an electoral process, so that at the end of the next election, there will be no quorums. If you go to an election and you have biometrics, if you go to an election and you have a clean voters list, who would be able to contest the results if the election goes well? No one. And so if your interest is in the stability and development of Guyana, you will agree to a clean voters list and biometrics.
How would you propose that this list be compiled? Because in the past, you refused to meet on voting on appointment of key personalities or positions in the government of Guyana. What would you suggest as a mediated team maybe, or who could you pull together to make this list legitimate and doesn't have government or any interference as such?
Well, you will need government, because in the final analysis,
it is
government that allocated resources, etc. What is needed is for us to agree that there is need for a clean voters list. Then there are a number of ways you could clean the list, but the one that has been practiced in Guyana and has shown success is where there is house-to-house registration, and every political party has a representative, so that the persons that are registered are not persons decided by X or Y. It is decided by the Elections Commission and signed off on by the government and the opposition.
But that election commission is made up of government officials.
Yeah.
Would you not say that they would be influenced by the government, as your government has been accused of?
Look, if the election commission function in the way it should, it would be 3 for government, 3 for opposition.
So let's start there. Would it not seem fair to say to shake up that institution?
It is, well, you have 2 options. You can have a chairman like Steve Suraj Bali did, who did not become involved in the political fight. He took time, energy, and skill, and had the parties resolve the issues in the best way they could, and avoid voting on certain political issues. In the present circumstance, the Election Commission chairman always votes with the PPP, and so that kind of arbiter, independent arbiter between the 2 political forces have been removed. I believe if you can put that back, you're in a better position. And so there are mechanisms that we can use to clean the voters list, to improve the integrity of the electoral system, and to ensure we have election results, so that by the time we are through, we all can find it acceptable and can move forward without tension. The reality in Guyana is, and that is why I've always been an advocate for changes in the system, the reality of Guyana is, when the APNUAFC or the PNC is in power, Indo-Guyanese feel excluded, and vice versa. And so, while these are electoral processes to give you the outcome of elections, they do not solve the fundamental problem, the problem of governance in Guyana, which is what we need to move to solve once in government.
Well, in the past, we have seen not only in Guyana, but even in Trinidad and Tobago, where the pretty much had a style of divide and rule. You've been a political student. That has been a technique used by many governments, especially when they have a large ethnic group and divide. Going to the polls, I don't think anyone could really survive politically with just one ethnic makeup. You might have been accused. The PPP might have been accused on the other side. You were part of a coalition government. And you have always advocated for coalition and working together. Would you see yourself sitting at a table to discuss being part of a PPP, your political party working together with government, like we have seen in places like Germany and others?
Yes, if it is in the context of good governance, you can become involved in engaging in government. But there has to be political maturity and an understanding of the issues you have to deal with. I am not going to go engaging unless we have some clear parameters. One, a clear vision for Guyana. Two, a plan. And in that plan, we must agree on the things that all of us want to see. For instance, I do not believe in Guyana that projects over a certain amount of money, the decision should be made only by the incumbent government. And on obtaining government, one of the things I will do, and I've said this publicly, is for us to sit and decide the major projects should have some amount of consensus so that when the government changes, you can continue. But if you have a situation in which a government makes decisions on major projects, right now we are talking about a pipeline in which there hasn't been enough discussions, there hasn't been agreement, and therefore, without proper feasibility study and discussion on it, it likely to end up the same way Amalia Falls end up. I hope not.
But you have been in a position to debate this publicly in Parliament, at least giving opposition consensus, as you spoke about. But your absence and absence of your colleague, wouldn't that be a waste of time?
I mean, well, first of all, we have been in Parliament all the time. The only time we didn't go to Parliament is the last sitting before the National Assembly went into recess. And the reason we didn't go was because they suspended 8 of our members of Parliament without giving them a right to a hearing, which the law prescribes. And so we have been in Parliament. We debated the question of insurance and put our information out there. We have debated many of these issues. But I don't want us to overstate Parliament. They say in the Parliament loud for everybody to hear, you will have your say and we will have our way. Now, if a Parliament isn't responsive to the opposition concerns, then it is really not a Parliament in the true sense of a democratic institution. And that is where the problem lies.
And you know, I must say this. Every government needs to function properly and be held accountable, and a stronger opposition, I would say, hold the government to task. You have been articulating, listening to you, hearing you from News Songbite, one who is doing a good job at that. But in the absence of being in Parliament and spending your time protesting outside of Parliament, isn't that defeating the purpose of our opposition?
But I've said to you, we have been in Parliament all the time. But you know something this world doesn't know? From the time there's going to be a parliament, the Ghana government blocks off about 800 yards on both sides, so nobody protesting can get in front of the parliament. If you're Trinidadian, as you know, it's a right to go in front of the parliament and protest. The present government puts up barriers, policemen, and it is difficult to get close. And whenever you get close is when you beat the barriers and get in there. So it's not a case. You see, people make the assumption that Ghana is a democratic society functioning in the way Trinidad would function or Barbados. Ask any government official if it is not true that from the time Parliament or